The most common question that I've been getting in my comment sections recently has been about, okay, how do I heal it? So one of the videos that a lot of new followers have found me from is the one talking about infidelity as PTSD. So the question is, okay, with this trauma, how does one actually go about healing it? And you need to approach it the same way that you would approach anything traumatic. And that is by not treating it as something of, okay, how do I get over this? How do we move past it? Healing from it requires building something entirely new within yourself. That's what the healing process looks like. You have to heal yourself first. So if you're thinking about how do I heal my relationship to this person? How do I heal my anxiety with a new partner? How do I level this out so it's not bothering me at my job? You're already one step too far ahead. You need to think of it first in terms of how can I heal individually. Step one is feel without trying to fix. A big part about how trauma works is you are experiencing emotions that you do not have the tools to deal with in the moment. So trauma is formed when the initial emotions pop up, you didn't have the tools necessary to handle it, to process it then. And so one way, it's not the whole picture, but one way that healing that trauma takes place is by actually truly feeling everything that you initially suppressed. Letting yourself feel shocked, letting yourself get extremely angry, extremely sad, and the grief, feeling the shame, feeling the disbelief. I'll pick shame for an example because I think it's relatable. A lot of people, when they're cheated on, actually feel a sense of shame, like they're somehow dirty, filthy, impure, or unworthy. And because we recognize in our head, most of us have grown up in a relatively sex-positive culture, in a relatively non-shame-based culture, that when we feel these things, we think that they're supposed to be dismissed. It's like, okay, that's just crazy. I'm not supposed to even think like that. Let me just ignore this. What I'm saying is part of the healing process is to listen to that. Not because it has anything positive to say, but because your nervous system is wanting to feel it, so let yourself just feel it. And there might be something underneath that. There might be something calling out to be healed from deeper, from somewhere in your past, where it's saying, hey, you're going to keep on having random bouts of shame or feelings of unworthiness if you don't heal this. This just triggered it in a crazy way. Let's just go all the way in. That's what I believe your unconscious is telling you. That's why it gets so triggering. And so part of healing the trauma is diving into that pain to figure out what needs healing. So cry when you need to cry. Be angry when you need to feel angry. Don't judge yourself for having feelings. And don't rush yourself into positive feelings. A lot of self-development advice is focused around the idea of having a positive mindset. And there's some truth to that. But so much of healing comes from releasing the painful emotions. So you can only release them by actually feeling them. Step two is rebuilding a new sense of self. Cheating doesn't just lead to you no longer trusting other people. It leads to you no longer trusting yourself. People often tell me when I'm first meeting with them, they just say, I don't feel like I know who I am anymore. I want to become reconnected with who I am, get a new sense of identity. And that's exactly right. So much of this work is about figuring out who you are as a person. And why this trips people up sometimes is it might feel like your sense of self has nothing to do with the relationship. It might feel like that has nothing to do with being cheated on. And to an extent, that's right. But to heal from that pain of being cheated on, you need to do work that is broader and deeper than just that. So what that could look like, reconnecting with parts of yourself that existed before the relationship. So think back to, who did I used to be? How did I used to act? What were some hobbies that I used to have? Reconnecting with those can help remind yourself that you exist within a larger story than just that one person. Similarly, what were goals or dreams that I used to have for my future that I, at one point or another, gave up while I was with this person? That is another way, just kind of doing it the opposite direction. Instead of looking to the past, looking to the future, for new ways to reconnect with who you were and who you wanted to be. This could also look like just setting up routines that bring stability to your life, finding things that bring you joy and meaning, and learning to trust your gut feelings again. And learning to trust your gut can be in very small ways. It could be as simple as you're driving to work or to somewhere that you frequently go. You feel like there might be more traffic if you go straight. You have a hunch that turning right at this light might get you there faster, and so you listen to your gut. you may or may not be correct, but the important part is learning to listen to your gut so that you can calibrate it. If you never trust your gut instinct, you're never able to identify when it was actually right, when it was wrong, and be able to know when you can and can't trust it. If you never trust it, you'll never be able to. You have to start trusting it even when it messes up to be able to rebuild that confidence in yourself. Step three, a big part of this is getting support from others. Being alone makes trauma worse, especially when it comes to trauma inflicted by someone that was so close to you. They were your support group. They were your support network. And without them, that pain is very difficult to manage because you used to turn to that person to help you with pain just like this. And now you can't turn to them because they're the one that inflicted it on you. So you're going to need more people. And oftentimes infidelity brings about depression or depression-like symptoms of not wanting to reach out for help. You're going to need to do that anyway. You're going to need to reach out and connect with people because of what I just said. Your normal support structure in that person isn't there for you anymore. You need people who can listen to your pain without trying to fix it, judge it, or rush you through it. And this doesn't mean telling just everybody and anyone that will listen. It means carefully choosing people who can handle your experience while you are working through it. Third step I'll mention is forgiveness. Forgiveness after an affair isn't about your partner. It's about freeing yourself from carrying around all that anger and resentment. This doesn't mean excusing. It doesn't mean pretending like it didn't happen or like it doesn't matter. It means choosing to let go of that grip of anger. Because if you think about it, a lot of people are stuck in one form of obsession over the person who cheated on them or another. Forgiveness is a form of indifference, which is a form of freedom. If you want freedom, some type of letting go is required. And for most people, they can't really truly fully let go until they forgive. I had one client where he told me within the first session, I know I need to forgive her, but I don't think that I can. And basically just went round and round in circles for a couple of sessions until he just finally gave up. He said, fine, I'll forgive her. And after that, the progress was crazy. Like everything else finally started to click once he was willing to forgive her. Never condoned her, was still very judgmental about her, was willing to say awful things about her. But that attachment that says, I am obsessed with labeling you as wrong, you have to let that go. The next step might be building new patterns. So the old patterns in your life led to this situation. So going back to how things were isn't a good option. So many people want to just hit rewind on their life. Again, I'll be talking to them. They'll say, like, I just want things to go back to how they were. It's like how they were is what led to the pain that you're in now. Is that really what you want to go back to? Just a time of ignorance of sweeping things under the rug? No, you want something better. So once you've established some type of balance, you've let go, you have some more emotional freedom inside, you need to build a new life. And you need to get to the point, what I consider success with a lot of my clients, is when they get to the point where the future, being free and open, and they feel confident to step into it, like that is victory. That is how you know that you've succeeded and healed, when you're able to think about new ways to live your life, new ways to set boundaries, new ways to build relationships, new ways to engage with romantic partners as an exciting thing to learn, as a new adventure. So how long does this have to take? Most people, if you just search online, if you look in the comments of my own videos, will say this takes 12 to 18 months, possibly even up to 3, 4, 5 years. I don't believe that it takes that long to get to what I just described, where you have genuine excitement and feelings of freedom and peace when you're looking into the future. That can just be a couple of weeks, couple of months, if you do this work. Most people, it takes them 12 to 18 months and beyond to actually do the work of processing their emotions, choosing forgiveness, identifying old patterns and letting go of those, and planning for the future and reconnecting with themselves. Those things people often delay for years and years because they want to be attached to their anger, or they're just too overwhelmed, or they aren't being supported. You can come out the other side quickly. You can come out the other side stronger. You can come out the other side more confident. If you choose to make this a time of intense doubling down on your personal growth, you could look back as this being a catalyst to becoming a whole new person for the better.